Tennessee just sounds perfect. Whether that's live music, the crack of a campfire, or kids laughing on an adventure.
To start planning your trip, visit tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association, member FDIC.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI.
Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Welcome to Stuff Mom Never Told You from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey there, and welcome to the podcast. This is Kristen.
And this is Molly.
So Molly, the HowStuffWorks.com office has been abuzz with parasites lately.
Yes.
If you haven't noticed, there is this show on Animal Planet that is coming out called Monsters Inside Me. And it's all about parasites. And we have been trying to think of ways to talk about how parasites relate specifically to women for the podcast. So you and I did a little bit of research this week and found some pretty compelling information that I was actually surprised to stumble on.
Yeah.
And it has to do with a possible link between parasites and HIV among African women. And HIV among women is a huge problem in Africa because, according to the Global Coalition of Women and AIDS, 75% of people 15 to 24 infected with HIV are female. And more specifically, in southern Africa, 57% of infected young people are female. And in many rural areas, for every man that is HIV positive, anywhere from 1.3 to 6.4 women are now infected.
Mm-hmm. So obviously this is a huge global problem. Those are really some staggering statistics. And a lot of the policy that tries to address this problem addresses risky behaviors. You know, we try and spread the word about safe sex, using condoms. But, you know, in doing this research on parasites, we learned that educating people just about parasites could have a huge implication on those statistics.
Right. And one major source that we ran across was a chapter in a book put out by the International Food Policy and Research Institute. And this chapter was written by Eileen Stillwagon. And she's talking about addressing HIV cofactors for infections, such as, like you mentioned, parasites, malnutrition, and these other things aside from just sexual behavior that are contributing to high rates of HIV and AIDS transmission.
Right. Stillwagon is talking about proven cofactors, things that when they happen in conjunction with risky behaviors, increase the chance of transmitting HIV and then actually increase the rate at which it multiplies in your body. So you become sicker faster. So one of the big cofactors is malnutrition. When you don't have enough to eat, it compromises your immune system. You know, you're already at risk for getting sick. And when, you know, you add in a sexual encounter on top of that, there's a greater likelihood that HIV will be spread because the rates of transmission between two healthy adults are much lower than the rates of transmission between two unhealthy people.
Right. And on top of malnutrition, especially in sub-Saharan Africa, parasites aggravate that problem and they're already immunocompromised. And once they have parasites that are also draining the nutrients inside of their body, that makes it even harder if HIV enters their body for them to even fight it off. And we hear a lot about, as far as parasites go, we hear a lot about malaria. Over 300 million people in Africa suffer from acute malaria each year, and almost 1 million children in Africa die of malaria annually. And it stimulates HIV replication. But on top of that, there's another less prominent parasite-related disease that's been getting a lot more attention that could have a key, especially for preventing HIV in women. And that is something called schistosomiasis.
That's right. And there are 207 million cases of schistosomiasis in the world, and 90% of them are in Africa. So obviously this is a huge problem in Africa. And what happens with this condition is you basically get it by going into snail-infested waters, streams where, you know, these people might be going to do their laundry, to wash, to play. You know, the thing that kind of hit home for me in reading this chapter by Eileen Stillwagon is when she says the riskiest thing for these African children is not, you know, a sexual encounter. It's just going swimming, basically.
Right. What happens specifically in these freshwater areas are trematode flatworms that are larval forms of parasites that are released by these freshwater snails, and they get into the skin of the people who are, like you said, washing their clothes or going swimming or whatever they might be doing. And then the larvae will develop into adult schistosomes, which live in the blood vessels. And then the parasites release eggs, which pass out of the body in urine or feces, and others are trapped in body tissues. And one of the major problems between schistosomiasis and HIV is the fact that a lot of the parasites will develop in the genitourinary tract.
Right. So you've got them on the vagina, you've got them in the cervix, and that's sort of the main place where HIV can be transmitted. So you've got people, you know, with a lot of open sores, basically, because once the worms are fully in there, you're left with a lot of sores. It almost looks like a sexually transmitted infection, which is why a lot of people don't seek treatment for this, because it's a lot of stigma to go to a doctor and say, you know, I've got bloody vaginal sores.
Right, Molly. And because of all of those factors combined, Stillwagon points out that with the possible exception of malaria, schistosomiasis is the most significant parasitic cofactor of HIV transmission because of where they're colonizing and how the making it the perfect entry point for HIV virus.
Because basically once the virus is there, it's just got all sorts of body fluids to interact with. The bloodstream with that open sore gives the HIV a direct access to the bloodstream.
Right.
Heading straight for the bloodstream, making an infection, and then, as you said, replicating much more quickly than it might otherwise.
Right, and this is happening in men as well. Men can also develop schistosomiasis, but it's not creating as open of an entry point for HIV transmission as it would be developing in a female cervix.
Right. And, you know, Stillwagon at the end mentions a vaccine for this, but we happened upon a New York Times article that's very recent, May 2009, by Donald G. McNeil. Talks about a drug called, and I'm probably not going to pronounce this right, Mr. McNeil, praziquantel. And they're saying that for 32 cents per child, you could vaccinate children against schistosomiasis in the first place.
Right. So they would never actually develop these parasites, and so they would have a lowered risk of HIV transmission, according to all this research that's been done. But there is one factor to this, is that you still have to address those sexual behavioral cofactors, because it can't obviously cure HIV. I mean, this is talking about vaccinating children. You still have to talk to, like, the older females and men in the communities, but it could make a big impact. And there is a pilot program in Burkina Faso for 70 million toddlers and school-aged children who are going to be treated with this vaccine for $22 million, repeating every 2 years for a decade. And this has been hailed as potentially Africa's 32 cents solution, because it could have a huge impact on lowering the HIV transmission rate.
Yeah, because, you know, one of the reasons I should probably point out why you would give this drug to the children is it kills the worms before they can create the sores. It doesn't cure the sores. So people, adults who already have this, will have to seek alternate means of treatment. But ultimately, Stillwagon's argument in this chapter we keep citing is that we need to broaden our HIV policy in Africa so it educates people about this potential parasite. You know, obviously we need better nutrition methods down there, but it's an interesting way to think about policy as not just, you know, teaching people in Africa to use condoms.
Right. And like you said, the stigma associated with the side effects of schistosomiasis, if they have these pilot programs and women are more aware of what could be happening, that might make them more apt to go seek medical attention if they do have those sores, because they might recognize that it might not be an STD, that it could be this parasitic infection. So it could have a ripple effect.
It could.
And we hope, and of course we hope that it does.
Yeah. So if you want to learn more about parasites in general, then watch Animal Planet on Wednesday nights, 9 p.m., because they're going to cover all sorts of things on Monsters Inside Me related to parasites. I don't know if they're going to do parasites in women in Africa, but who knows?
And since Molly and I just touched on a very small portion of the issue of women and AIDS globally, if you would like to learn more about that, I highly recommend Googling Global Coalition of Women and AIDS and heading over to their website, because they have a lot of great information and good statistics as well. And that's a co-project of the United Nations.
And just, we have a lot of parasite info in general at the blogs at How Stuff Works. Kristen and I have a blog. We've done each a few parasite posts, so check out How To Stuff at HowStuffWorks.com.
Listener mail?
Yes. So we did have a few observant listeners who realized that we didn't quite answer the question we set out to in the podcast, are organic foods healthier? I blame this on the fact that we wanted to just really talk about food. We were hungry when we recorded the podcast. We wanted to touch on the foods that are better to buy organic and kind of skimped on the question.
Yeah.
So a lot of people wrote in saying, well, is it true? Can, the pesticides that are on these foods harm me? Can they kill me? What's the deal with the pesticides?
All right. So, and I will, instead of reading the listener mail, I guess I'm reading listener response mail. This is answer that I offered out to a couple of listeners who wrote in about this. And I said, from what I can gather, the jury is still out on whether and how pesticides from the food we eat really harm the body. In large doses, research has shown that they can fry our nervous system and disrupt our endocrine systems, which is especially harmful for children since it affects secondary sex characteristics and development. And according to the Environmental Working Group, pesticides in food are most harmful to fetal and child development rather than adults. And the BBC has also reported that some pesticides promote bacteria growth on some food that can lead to food poisoning. At the same time, there are plenty of stories out there as well that refute the health and environmental benefits of organics. And I look for a little insight on the EPA's role in regulating the pesticides on the food we eat. And basically, the EPA sets what are called tolerance levels of how much of pesticide residue can be left on food that we buy in the grocery store without being harmful to humans. Mm-hmm. So there is regulation out there, even though if you're buying a non-organic apple and it is covered in maybe a little bit of pesticide and that wax gives it that glossy sheen, supposedly it is within the realm of safety for mm-hmm. human consumption, according to EPA and probably FDA standards as well.
You know, I think it can come down to the individual. Krista and I were both raised on non-organic food. We both seem to think we're okay. But we did get an email from a listener whose son, you know, had started to develop a weird odor, and they found that when they switched him off the milk with growth hormones, he did much better. So mm-hmm. It's something I think we can monitor through observation. And as Kristen pointed out, it might be a more sensitive issue when someone is a child or an infant.
Right. Or if you are pregnant.
Yes.
So I hope that answers some of y'all's questions about organics. And if not, you should head on over to HowStuffWorks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com. Want more How Stuff Works? Check out our blogs on the HowStuffWorks.com homepage.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off. Starts Friday and open Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring. like banking.
Because Boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association, member FDIC.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.